One, two, three, four, pop culture. Hootenanny pop culture. Hootenanny pop culture. Hootenanny pop culture. Hootenanny.
And we came back. I'm Dan.
I'm Justin.
And T-Rob.
And it's the Pop Culture Hootenanny.
Woo!
So we're gonna get out of T-Rod's zone completely. He doesn't even have an idea of the premise of
Rick and Morty. He's just gonna sit here and listen to this conversation
and chime in with nonsense, I'm sure.
Nonsense, but questions.
But this week we've decided to focus on an old favorite of ours, of course, Rick and Morty. But episode 4, Night Family.
Oh man. Where to begin?
I have to say, I enjoyed this episode more than the first episode of this season, and I really, really liked the first episode of this season.
I think it could be my favorite episode so far this season.
I mean, it's only 4 in, so we still have hopefully 6 more to go.
Yeah,
but it's, dude.
All right. First off, it's very horror movie-esque, and I like it, especially this time of season, this time of the year. It's coming into Halloween.
It's his
and
favorite time of the
I love
the
it.
It's the most wonderful time.
And it's very horror movie-esque. It's got, like, the Jordan Peele, John Carpenter vibe going.
Yes, it certainly did. That was actually the, if I may interject... That was the first thing I thought of when I finally saw the premise of this episode in motion. That I thought of Us. I thought of the movie Us.
Yeah, but like almost any type of mind control situation.
Right.
It's very like Us. Very They Live.
Right.
The you know like. We're being oppressed by these
right.
people, but we can't see them. We
right.
just know they're there.
It's such a metaphysical conversation. It's such a metaphysical episode. To anyone who hasn't watched it yet, if you're listening to this, I assume you have because
it's been out for days now.
Because it's been out for days.
Days.
Just as a quick recap of the story, Beth wakes up in the middle of the night and finds Rick doing sit-ups in what looks to be a zombie-like trance. She questions about it the next morning in front of family at breakfast, and he admits that he's using a, what's it called? The
somnambulator.
Somnambulator, which is a device that allows you to get sleep while at the same time in the hours of sleeping do all the shit you didn't want to have to do during the day while you were awake.
Yes, your unconscious self.
Such as making financial decisions or doing chores around the house or whatever. But Rick was using it to further his science projects and get a 10-pack of abs.
Yes. Yes.
And so, of course, the whole family's in
abs
on it.
For days.
The whole family's in on it. Some people are a little bit reluctant. But Summer, if you've watched it, if you can remember, just to say, was the first to raise her hand and first to do everything, which is a crux. She volunteers everything. It needs a blood sample. It has control situations, whatever. They inevitably have to face their night selves and all the chores that their night selves, basically slaves, to the whims of their day masters. And I think this, I have to say, Jerry is the Tony Stark of this episode.
He is the creator.
He is the ingenuitive creator and solver of these problems, but through ineptness. And it is one of the best things ever.
Jerry's had a great arc this season.
He has had a great arc this season.
We've seen Kick-Ass Jerry.
Yep.
We've seen Pillbug Jerry.
They're giving the family more dues in the episodes. And, in fact, I have a friend who did not really care for it because it was this episode was summer-centric as the villain.
I liked it.
I did too. I know. But some people, whatever.
Yeah.
Because it's, it's.
You don't want to mess with that dynamic they have.
Well, that and the story mold has changed. Since the end of that last season, they said things were going to be different, and it is. You can tell through Rick's breaking down to give the family what they want on situations that he would normally. Covet to himself and not let them in on.
Right? All it takes is a sigh to break down.
Yeah. It's like, what? Say what you're going to say. I'm not going to say anything. And Summer's just sitting there scrolling through Twitter. And that's when Night Summer emerges. That's the secret part. But anyways, everyone's got their chores that they're getting done. For some reason, Beth wants to learn how to play trumpet. Summer wants to learn how to speak Spanish so she can pass her exams, Spanish exams. And Morty's only concerned with six-pack abs.
Morty only wants abs.
In which case, he makes references to it. It's his proudness of his abs are completely ridiculous. I think one of my favorites is when all the robots pop out, and he's like, "Everyone, get behind me! My abs will protect you.
Get behind my abs!
Get behind my abs! They're bullets." He thinks that his abs are going
to
protect him.
Well, boys, just to interject.
Yeah, sure.
I don't really have a serious clue as to what you guys are talking about when you guys are talking about it, but given the fact that you guys are painting a very vivid picture of the scenes,
right?
Using analogies to describe the characters and how they correlate to the actual show, I'm starting to understand bits and pieces of this.
Right.
I'm starting to enjoy it. Maybe this is something that I really got to start watching.
I recommend to anyone to watch Rick and Morty.
But first curveball of the show, I would like to make a public announcement. Not a service. I don't think it's really a service, but it is a public complaint. And that is, we're having our lunch, and I'm eating chicken noodle soup from Chick-fil-A, which I enjoy. I really do like chicken noodle soup, right? But why do they have to give you stale crackers? Why does it seem like every time you get soups, chilies, or something from somewhere, they got to give you stale crackers? You can taste the staleness.
That's blasphemy. You're down talking Chick-fil-A right now, and that's just blasphemous.
Yeah, but why? But I think it's a trend. It's a trend. It's a different. If you go to Wendy's, stale crackers.
I don't put crackers in my soup.
If you go to a Bob Evans, there's stale crackers. It's like individually packed crackers.
I would argue that chances just as to contribute to
this. I'm the only person eating chicken noodle soup from there.
No. But my guess is that crackers made by companies like or for purposes like this are usually packed in large quantities and sit on the shelf for years. I mean, one box of crackers could last 6 months. Who knows how many of them have little openings and whatnot and all that kind of stuff. But
so back on point.
Thank you.
What would Morty say about this?
Oh, geez.
Oh, geez. Oh, geez.
But it is a good thing that you're talking about this, because while you're eating your chicken noodle soup, it does look like slop. So
it's good.
Hold on. This isn't because
my crackers were stale, I instead am going to use goldfish inside the chicken noodle soup. And I don't know
how I feel about it. Okay.
I don't know how I feel about it right now. But
there's some schmutz over there.
Is there schmutz on that plate? Okay, and check this out, just for the sake of it. The whole reason the Knight family rebels, T-Rod, is because Knight Summer is tasked with doing the dishes. And she's the only one who's waking up to the idea, is this all I'm doing? It kind of goes back to the callback to season one where you pass butter. What is my job? You pass butter. Oh, my God. welcome to the club, pal. Right?
Yeah.
But this is where Jerry is the crux of this episode. Everyone else has things to improve their daily life, where Jerry, the dad on the show,
right,
he is disrespected almost every season. He's disrespected by the family. He is the running joke of a normal layman who doesn't believe or understand how intricate the world of Rick and Morty is in itself, right? He writes letters to his night self. He makes his night self a pen pal, and they write letters to each other every day. So they talking. He is his only friend. He's his only friend.
Yes.
Right. Essentially.
Yes.
So, night Summer tells Night Jerry to tell Day Jerry maybe if they could rinse off the dishes instead of throwing them in the sink dirty, it would be beneficial. And Rick goes crazy. He's like, the whole point of this is so that they do what you don't want to do. He's like, fuck. He basically has, fuck them. Fuck, they are our tools and our tools alone.
And the whole family's like, but it only takes 2 seconds. It's not an unreasonable request.
So at one point, all the rest of the family wakes up, but they keep Rick as Day Rick. They wake him up out of his sleep. So he's Day Rick. But the rest
of that a bad thing then? If he still thinks he's Night Rick.
He doesn't think he's Night Rick.
He knows like he's Day Rick.
They basically, so he does his chores or whatever. They put him back in his bed and they strap him into his bed, and then they use smelling salts to revive him.
To wake him up.
So he's strapped down.
And their only complaint at these zombie looking things with these well done animation as far as the glowing eyes and stuff go. One of the best things, their lighting was fucking great in this episode.
Yes.
So you see the whole rest of the family going, why won't you rinse the dishes? And then Night Morty goes, it takes 2 seconds. And then Jerry, which we were just talking about schmutz, he goes, if you don't rinse, the schmutz will dry. And it'll be harder to clean. All right, so that's the only complaint of the Night family. And Rick refuses it. And he says, fuck you, I'm still not rinsing the dishes. So Night Summer scrapes all the dirty dishes that have collected all week into Rick's open mouth.
Why he's sleeping?
No, while he's awake. Because
they wake him up.
They want him to experience
So he's
the
awake,
horror.
Strapped to his bed, and they hold his mouth open
so
while she's scraping the plates.
Yeah. And you know what? It sounds a lot like he was hypnotized, but only he was put to sleep and then awoken.
I mean, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the machine itself is what does. You program into the machine what you want to learn or do. But it's Jerry's complaints to Night Jerry that start this whole problem. And then it's at the end of the episode, it's Jerry telling Day Jerry telling Night Jerry, hey, if you really like me as a friend, you'll help my family. And Night Jerry is such good friends with Day Jerry that the bond is inseparable, right? So he ends up helping the family out of this illustrious situation. At one point, what is it? The fight after they get in the car wreck.
Yeah.
After Summer wrecks the car. Like that, there's like 30 seconds of animation where they're literally beating the shit out of themselves.
And it's like they knock each other out, so then they're night people, then they get hit again and they're back awake and day people, and it's like back and forth.
It's the weirdest little fight.
So in other words, you better not be delayed because somebody's getting stomped.
Right. Well, that.
But I would like to talk about the car chase.
Okay.
Because the car chase fucking cracks me up. The whole fucking.
Why do you even try, Gene?
Yes. Yes. First off.
Why do I even try, Gene?
Having some car trouble, Sanchez.
Not now, Gene.
So they get in the car. They're driving away. The robots are after them. She avoids every car except for a smart car, which sends her flying into cardboard boxes for sale. For some reason, the guy's just—he's got a peanut-esque psychiatric stand that says "cardboard boxes for sale." At the same time, she lands in the boxes. The cop's writing a ticket. She just runs out of the boxes, jumps in a cop car, and steals the cop car. And the cop's like, stop her, I'll shoot everyone. So then she's chasing them down in the cop car, and they're still robot sentries chasing after them.
The Day family.
By the way,
just to segue, or not segue, but to add in, the Knight family took over for a while. For a long time, enough to where they could start building their own shit, and they built this sentry arsenal of flying robots to protect them from the Day family whenever they awaken. Yeah. So, anyways, with that being said, back to the chase.
So, yeah, the chase. So it's back and forth, like between the family getting shot with tranquilizer darts and to become Knight family and Day family, back and forth the whole car chase. And there's one point where they cause an accident, and it's like a semi-truck flips over, and it's like the Adderall Express.
What?
Adderall everywhere? So the semi-truck flips over.
Okay.
So then there's like this whole expressway is blocked with all these pills. So then there's a tanker truck that rolls over and crushes all the Adderall. So there's just a big cloud of Adderall.
And they drive through it,
and Summer and Rick wake up because they just drove through a cloud of Adderall. And then there's the scene where, so now Rick's back, they're both awake now, and they catch up to the rest of the family in the car.
Start fighting them.
No, Rick. No. Rick's like, take the wheel, and takes a shotgun and jumps from the car like Terminator-esque, shoots the robot. The robot flies off the car, crashes into a gasoline factory.
Oh no!
That sends us.
It's called the gasoline factory too, not refinery.
Yes, gasoline factory. And so that sends a flame shooting into a dynamite museum. That is conveniently next to dry leaf storage. So there's just this huge explosion.
Massive Michael Bay explosion caused by this chase. It's like the idea of putting a...
Oh, it made... laugh so hard. And then, like... So now the family's almost all awake. The only person asleep is Jerry at this point. And he's... Knight Jerry's helping the Day family.
Yeah, Knight Jerry is the only one helping the Day family. He's sided with Day Jerry.
So now they're all in the family car except for Summer. She's driving the cop car still, and Knight Jerry's like, "Jump to me," and she's like, "Why? I'm in a perfectly fine car." And he like, you see him like look like he's got to think about what to say. And he's like, "Family." And she's like, "Oh!" So she jumps into back to the family car.
A Fast and Furious reference.
Yes.
Here's something it's gonna sound bad, but this cartoon sounds like one of my daydreams.
Well, then you need to watch it.
It could very well end up a daydream.
This sounds like something I thought about before. I'm not saying it like this is just how my mind works. And, you know, and conveniently, I would have thought about something with Adderall, though Adderall does not have the same effect on me as it does on everybody else.
But if
I'm supposed to be on it, hey, there it is.
Right.
But that's usually how my mind works, which is why everybody sent me that same meme, like, I don't know, for like 3 or 4 days in a row. A meme kept going around where everybody was like, this is what goes on in T-Rod's head, and it's everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Or, T-Rod, you saw the arrows, but somehow it comes back to the original story.
A T-Rod story?
You do have an amazing ability to have like 5 different conversations while at the same time.
And never lose your place.
Never lose your place in the original story.
It's crazy. I don't know how it is. You know, if I do take my medicine, that doesn't happen. And if I drink like an energy drink, I'm not full-blown energetic T-Rod. It's more down to earth. Hey guys, let's have a conversation, and we can control.
Right.
We can control the directions here.
Right.
So.
But yeah, that's what this cartoon sounds like. Maybe I should watch it.
So I was wrong, and let me correct myself. It's after she jumps out of the cop car. The cop car is what crashes into the gasoline factory, and causes the whole explosion thing. But then so they're in the car. And Summer puts her hand down on the seat and stabs herself with a tranquilizer dart and becomes Night Summer again.
Oh, no.
And that's what causes the family to
crash.
And then the fight scene that Justin was talking about.
But that fight scene ends with...
Everyone is Night family except for Rick.
And they're like, hey, enough is enough.
We'll call a truce.
We come to a compromise. Just rinse the dishes. We'll do everything else. Just rinse the dishes.
The bottom line is, his point was made.
Oh, no. Or we're going to turn you back in. We're going to turn you into Night Rick. And we're going to stay this way forever.
Forever,
right. And what does Rick do in his defiance? No. And the next scene you see, and as the credits roll, the whole family's the Knight family driving and enjoying all these vacations.
They're like in Hawaii.
They're going Paris.
China.
They're
at like the Chinese New Year.
They're at a front row at a fucking like Broadway musical. They're just spending money left and right. And after the credits roll, it shows the Knight family back at the house dealing with bill collectors and they've just completely bankrupted the whole family because these are all things that the Knight people were supposed to do.
The Daemonoids take care of
but the Daemonoids take care of all the financial shit while you're awake, so they have no idea how to handle this. So Rick comes into the room with it's a nice little turn. Because he comes to the room and says, I think I have a device which may solve our problem. And it's just a magnum.
He just pulls out a gun.
Like, and the funny thing is, the family looks down like, yeah, let's kill ourselves. But instead, they just shoot the machine, which makes them the Knight family. So they all go back to being the Day family again, the regular family.
Yeah, they all
family.
Wake up. They all fall down and wake up.
But my favorite part is, Oh, God, how long were we out? And Rick checks his phone. He goes, oh, my God, they killed the Choco Taco. And everyone's like, no!
Hey, the Choco Taco is gone. It's dead.
Yep. It's but that's how true. Long they were out, because that was like a year ago. Well, I got to go back to the line.
Yeah, that's it for this episode. Hopefully enjoy our random nonsense.
Yes.
Don't be a dick.
Be cool to people.
Be cool. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. All right, guys.
1, 2, 3, 4, pop culture.